Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, Lent is over and the Easter season is here. And if you think of Lent as a time of spiritual training, you might think that now is a time for a holiday. But of course, if you see prayer as an important part of a relationship with a loving friend, then why would you take a break? Why not keep it going? At this time of the week, we always talk to a prayer coach, someone who's used to giving tips and advice to others on how to look after their spiritual health. And today, our guest is a hospital chaplain. Gets to talk to people about spiritual things at times of sickness. Very exciting and interesting. And we're going to be talking about the question, do different ways of praying suit different people? In studio now to tell us more, we have Marianne Quinn. You're very welcome to the show, Marianne.
Thank you very much, Dom.
Oh, it's good to have you. And first of all, tell us a bit about yourself and the work you do.
Well, I have been chaplain at Loughlinstown Hospital for 14 years now. And for 2.5 years before that, I was with St. John of God's. So I went into Loughlinstown just for 2 days a week. And that lasted 2 weeks. And then I just got so involved with it. It is amazing work. And I've been there for 14 years since.
Wow.
I am a married lady with 3 children. And I was at home with them for 21 years, rearing them. And then the Lord called me into chaplaincy. And I have to say, I went in kicking and screaming. I didn't like the idea, but I am so glad that he won that battle.
Oh, there you go. So you're based in Loughlinstown Hospital in Dublin. And it sounds like you really love your work.
Absolutely love it. I'd love people to be able to walk a mile with me or spend a day with me in my job, because it is the most sacred work. You're with vulnerable people, people who are hurting, people who are in trouble, and you are the voice of God for them, there and then, the hands and the feet of God. It is very sacred.
Mm. And it's a time when one is sick that one begins to dwell upon the eternal, I suppose, and think
That's
about
right.
faith.
That so, is right, yeah. And that happens to people too, that I often say to me, I haven't prayed for years, but all of a sudden I'm thinking, what happens next? When I go into my eternal life and God is standing there, what will he say to me, because I haven't spoken to him for years?
Mm.
So I just tell them about the merciful God that I know and share that with them. And it's amazing to see how they then might ask for confession or ask to speak to a priest or a pastor or a vicar and to have time with them. And it's a miracle before my eyes.
Mm.
It's truly beautiful.
And the thing is, it's a time when people are open to talking as well.
Absolutely.
So it's an opportunity, I suppose.
It is really. It really is. People open up very quickly, especially if they've got a diagnosis or a prognosis. After the doctor has spoken to them, I will be the next person in. And it is a lovely time, and that might sound weird, but it's a time for them to be totally themselves. Because when the family arrives, they have to pretend that things are okay and things are going to be okay, and they have to overcome their fears. But with me, they'll speak about their fears and their worries and their concerns, and we have prayer time.
Mm, yeah.
It's beautiful.
And would you say, Marianne, you know, that there are different things that folks respond to differently, and there's different ways that one can pray that suits you?
Without doubt.
Yeah?
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, when I was growing up, I learned all the prayers by rote, and prayer was a very important part of my family. And that's a fine way to pray. It's a perfect way to pray for people who like that. And then I often find in hospital, the elderly people say to me, and you know, Marianne, I can't even pray. Like, that's the biggest sin, because prayer is part of their everyday life.
Mm.
And when they say that to me, I say, that's okay, Mary. You have, in my opinion, you have a big prayer account, because you pray every day for others. You have all of this. And now it's time to say to the Lord, you know, I can't pray today, so let's draw down on my account. And then when they accept that it's okay not to be able to pray, I'll say to them, well, will we pray together now? So in that moment, I will pray. And it won't be rote prayer. I will say something like, Lord, you know what Mary's concerns are right now. You know her pain even more than she knows it. You know her fears and her worries and concerns. And I will ask the Lord to wrap his mantle around the three of us there and then, him and the two of us, Mary and myself, and just send his peace, that passes all understanding, and his healing in whatever way that healing is to take place there and then. And I just speak to the Lord as a friend, and quite often the tears come then for the patient, and they will say afterwards, I have never prayed like that. That is beautiful. So it's just opening up to the many, many ways of praying that is there for everybody.
And it sounds like what you're saying, this idea of prayer is something that can be done in a very relational way.
Very much.
Being open, in a sense, to that
relationship.
Absolutely.
Because every day when I pray, I am praying to a God who I consider to be my friend. I have a personal relationship with God. And I think that is what makes it easier. Because in my work, if I was to go about over to the mortuary to meet a family who might be coming in after a sudden death, I don't know what I'm going to meet. There might be anger if it was suicide, or if it was an accident or a murder. There could be resentment and all kinds of things. So I don't know what I'm going to meet. So I say to myself, now you just stay here in the office and have a rest. And I say to the Lord, here is my body as your channel. So let's go and you speak through me to this family. And when I go over, the Lord just takes over. And even with the anger, even with the resentment, that does eventually break down. I might be with a family for 2 hours, and 95% of the time, even though they might have said at the beginning, I don't want any prayer, I don't want any talk about God, 95% of the time we stand around the body and we pray. Mm. Just praying, talking to God. Mm. You know, and it's very powerful.
Is this thing of, do you think there's a lot of mental blocks against prayer that you would encounter then? So that people think, oh, well, I don't want any of this religious stuff.
Religious stuff, exactly. Yeah. People say, I am not religious. And I'd say, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. I am just here with you as a God, as a help. I am here as the chaplain to be present for whatever you need right now and how I can help you through this terrible event. And I will sit talking to them and I'll say, tell me about John, whoever has died. You tell me about them, and they'll tell me the story. And there's great healing in that, because I am then being the ears of God. I am listening to what they are saying. And inevitably then, when it comes to the praying part, I pray back the story that they have told me. And I say, thank you, Lord, that John was this type of person or that type of person, and for the great things that he did. And then the family will suddenly come around and say, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be that type of prayer, or I would have had it sooner. But it's just giving thanks to God for the life that had lived. And even in this tragedy, what we need to learn from this tragedy so that it won't be in vain. And I try to send the family out in good grief, because that's what is really needed. If they're going out in good grief, if they believe that if it was a suicide, there is no blame, we cannot judge. We do not know what was going on. We are not the judge. That's up to God or whatever, you know, people believe in. So we do not judge. We celebrate the life that was lived and we pass it on to the Lord. And there's great healing in that.
Mm. And would you say if someone was wondering what they should do to pray, what sort of initial advice would you give them? Is it a daily thing, for example, or something
okay.
like that?
Well, my prayer life at the moment is an attitude of gratitude. And that's what I do. We cannot become what we need to be, remaining where we are. So every morning, as soon as I open my eyes, I thank God for a new day. Because when I go to bed tonight, I'm not sure that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. So when I do wake up, I am very, very grateful for the gift of another day. So that'll be my first prayer. If I hear the birds singing, the birds are singing beautifully these mornings, I thank God for my gift of hearing. And when I pull back the curtain, I pray for anybody who is blind and who cannot see the beautiful colours that are in the garden at the moment. I have a friend who has just died after a terrible illness, and she said to me many times in her last few weeks, she said, I wish I could just have a shower on my own. So when I get into the shower, I am very grateful that I can do that on my own. I bless my food. Just, you know, say, bless this food and thank you for it and for the hands that made it. And they don't have to be long prayers. When I get into my car, I thank God for my car and I say, please don't let me hurt or upset anybody by my driving or use of the road today. And then as I go to work, when I'm walking from the car park, I pray that the Lord will go ahead of me and that I will be his hands and feet and his voice that day to anybody who needs me. It might be a member of staff, it might be a colleague or a family coming in a distressed state. And I just pray that I will be open to them. And that's all it takes. I don't have to go into the church for half an hour. I don't have to get down on my knees and beg God for anything. The Lord says, come to me and I am here for you. You know, ask and you will receive. And I believe that. So when I do that, I do generally receive. Mightn't be the way I want it, but I do generally receive. And I do come to him when I have burdens and those burdens are lightened.
So it's like a constant prayer, is what
Absolutely.
You're describing.
So everything I do, if I'm doing a job at work that I don't like or a job at home, housework that I don't like, I say, Lord, I'm offering this up to you today for anybody who is alone, has nobody to pray for them. And then I get on with the task and I do it with a good heart, knowing that that in itself is a prayer. So I'm praying for somebody else, but I'm also getting my task done in a different heart. So it works both ways. What you give, you get back.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. Before we go, Marianne, you mentioned a few times the idea of people who've been bereaved with suicide and so on. You must have seen some really awful situations
in
your job.
I have seen terrible situations, and it is very, very hard to take. But when I do it in the Lord, I can cope with it. Like I had one suicide last year, the year before, and Mam and his and the two sisters of the bereaved came in. So I'll just say the bereaved was Paul. And Mam and the two sisters came and they were around Paul's body and they were kissing him, hugging him and bereft. And then Paul's brother, John, enters and John is very angry. And John He just comes in and he disturbs any peace that there was in the mortuary, any hope of prayer. And he looks at me and he said, who are you? And I said, I'm the chaplain here. And he said, well, don't you start talking to me about God or prayer. Where was your God when Paul was hanging himself? Where is your God now looking at my family like this? And Mam and the two sisters were very upset that he was speaking to me like this. And I said to them, just get on with your grieving. I'm fine. So I just said a quick prayer and the Lord says, go after the one. You know, you leave the 99 sheep and you go after the one. And John had gone outside. So I went out to him and I just stood with him. And he was very angry and it was displaced anger. But that's my role at the time. So I was with him where he was at. And then he came back in and we sat down and I talked to him about his brother and about different things. And it was 2 hours in all that we were there. And then Mam says, I think we should go home now and make arrangements. And it was John himself who said to me, well, maybe then we should just say a prayer in case. And we all came together. We held hands and had hands on the body in front of us. And we prayed together. And it was amazing. And four, instead of three people and one people leaving, the four left together hand in hand. And I got a call that night from him and the next night apologising and saying how sorry he was and how the prayer had really helped him to see and to get through. And I heard from him many times after that and he told me that he is back in relationship with God through the death of his brother. So we should never give up hope. All incidences are ways of God if we see them that way.
Well, Marianne, it's truly inspiring to hear you talk about it as someone with your experience and the power of prayer, as you say, that you know you can do it with prayer.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for coming
you
in
for
and chatting to us. This is Marianne Quinn, chaplain at St Columb Kills Hospital, Loughlin's Town, South Dublin. Great to have you in.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.